Parkcast, the UK's original theme park podcast.
Welcome back to Parkcast Park Fans. We're a podcast for theme park fans, and if that's you, you're in the right place. And today, we've got a very exciting episode for you. I have just returned from an epic adventure, and we're going to be talking about it in detail. We're going to be dissecting it in full. I'm going to be telling you everything you need to know if you are planning a trip over to Orlando to go and check out Epic Universe at Universal Resort. I'm Bex, this is Kev.
Hi, I'm sat in the corner crying while Bex talks about Epic Universe.
No!
And I'll just sit here and be like...
I'm going to give you the tips because I know you're going to get out there at some point. So hopefully it'll be useful. And if you have no plans to get to Epic, you have no plans to get to Universal in the near future, hopefully it's still useful as well, because I like to vicariously live my theme park life through people who are going to parks that I know I'm not going to get to anytime soon. So hopefully it's still interesting for you.
I mean, also, I bet everyone's already wanting to know, how excited are you now about Universal in the UK?
Well, this is it.
Having been to Epic and seen it, not on the TV, on YouTube, but actually with your own eyes. Where is your level of excitement now?
Oh, yeah. So obviously, we've done a couple of episodes about Universal coming to the UK and how excited we are as theme park enthusiasts for that. I hadn't been to a Universal park in 26 years before this trip. So it's been a long time. So my knowledge and my recollection of Universal is really through other people that I've seen on YouTube. And we know that Universal make a good theme park. But having been to a brand new Universal theme park and seen it with my own eyes, it's going to change our lives. Like, I just, having seen what they've done with their technology in their dark rides, in their show buildings, and seeing all those show buildings on what is still concept art for Universal UK. But I think we, you know, given our climate, I think we know that there's going to be a lot of indoor attractions. It's going to wipe the floor with anything that we've seen in the UK. And I know you love Curse of Alt Manor. And you know my husband loves Curse of Alt Manor. We were out at Alton Towers just yesterday, and he's a massive fan of that dark ride.
Yeah.
And he came off it yesterday and said, feels just like it's a bit of a ghost train now. And that's because he's been spoilt by what Universal showed us. So,
I think that's the thing, isn't it? When you've been to a Universal park, or even the first time you go to a Disney park and you come back to the UK, and you go to some of your favorite places, it does spoil it a little bit.
It's really hard because you have to take them for what they are, and they aren't the same. You know, one day at Epic cost us £300 as a family. We got the three of us with the parent and toddler ticket into Alton Towers for £50 yesterday. It's a big difference. You're not comparing apples with apples.
Yeah.
But yeah, you do kind of walk away from Universal going, okay, wow, this is what we can do with theme park rides now. And this is actually really exciting as a theme park fan.
And even just the queue lines, like we were talking with Mark the other week, like with the Ministry of Magic, and just the scale of detail and queue lines just for queue.
Yeah, they're you not. Know, they are something else, isn't it? Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll get on to that. I think there's so much to talk about, and I don't want to rob too much of anyone's time, and I want to keep this as compact as possible. So I think the easiest way to do it is kind of portal by portal, but also kind of going through the sequence in which I experience things by going through the portals, and we'll try and cover everything by doing that. And then if you've got any questions at the end, Kev, then obviously we can like cover them off. But there's so much to talk about.
I'm desperate to ask first before we dive in. So for those that don't know, on this podcast, Bex is moving to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
And I feel like you're doing like a massive coaster tour around different places. So you've been to Fantasialand, you've been to Plopsaland, you've been over to Orlando. So my question, my first question is, how many times has your number one coaster changed over the last month?
In the last month.
Because I'm pretty confident, you've been back to on Taron.
Yeah.
You've done Ride to Happiness. You've done Velocicoaster. And you've been and done Stardust Races as well.
Yeah.
So how many times has your number one coaster changed?
It's been a month. I mean, part of the reason I'm doing all these trips is because we're moving to Saudi, and it's going to be a lot harder for me to get to the European parks once we're there, just because of flights and things like that. My number one has been Taron for a long time. It's now no longer Taron. But I think we'll come to that in the episode, shall we?
So is it still Ride to Happiness?
No, my number, no, Ride to Happiness never beat Taran for
Oh,
me.
did it not?
No,
Oh,
it went into my top three.
okay.
Taran, Shambhala, and Ride to Happiness were my top three. That has
But
now,
now there's two.
it's changed. Yeah.
Scrap that list. Get the
Rip
next
it
one
up,
out. Rip it up.
starting
Top five,
again.
top 10. You're gonna be, yeah, amazing. Okay,
We'll come
go
to
through
it.
it with us then, Beck. So
Okay, well, I'll just
take us
the
through it.
background for this, if you haven't seen my videos online, is I wasn't going to Universal this time 2 weeks ago. Literally, the trip wasn't booked, and they announced obviously the annual heart pass holder previews for Epic Universe. You had to have an annual pass, or you had to be staying in a Universal hotel. And they did those for a couple of weeks at the start of May, and people started going. And I started seeing a lot of content from them, and I thought, I'm actually quite excited about this park. And then Universal announced their UK park, and I started seeing any even more content because that's how it works. And then they extended those previews. So they said, right up until park opening, basically, if you stay in a Universal hotel, you can go down to your hotel lobby and get Epic preview tickets. So I literally woke up on the Friday morning and said to my husband, I think we need to go to Orlando. And he did the classic husband side eye of what's your latest harebrained scheme now? What are you trying to talk me into? What are you girl mathing me with? And I was like, well, the thing is, it's in preview. It's never going to be this quiet again, which it won't. And we had a week off. We were planning to go to a European park anyway. So what's a 7 hour flight when you're going to do a 7 hour drive to Europa Park? It's kind of that was my logic. We managed to get a really good deal through Virgin, which included staying at Endless Summer, the Universal Hotel, with the Surfside side we stayed at, and I would highly recommend that hotel. It's their cheapest, most basic hotel, but it was brilliant for us as a family with a 4-year-old. It had everything you need. We flew with Virgin. We could have done it cheaper by booking it ourselves and flying with Norse, but that was from Gatwick. We live in Lincolnshire, and Gatwick's just a bit more of a pain to get to. And sometimes I just think it's easier if you've got a package. It was literally a couple of £100 more to go with Virgin from Heathrow, so it just worked out for us to do that. And we literally booked it for the following week, and we were going within a week. Had to sort Esther's, which I've never done before. The Esther website was down for the whole weekend on the weekend I booked it. So it was like, yeah, every Esther is going to be delayed if you submit for application this weekend. So that was a very stressful weekend.
Like, imagine.
Because, as you know, if you don't have an Esther, you're not getting anywhere. But they came through on the Sunday night, and then it was like, okay, this is real. We're actually going
No,
now.
crazy.
Yeah, and because it was so last minute, and you've done a lot of Disney visits, and you're probably used to this. A lot of planning usually goes with these type of holidays. Like you'll be like, right, this day I'm going to do this. This day I'm going to do this, and then we're going to eat here and blah blah blah. And I've seen people who go and do 2 week visits to Orlando, and I've seen the printouts that they have and the calendars and the reservations and whatever it is, 6 weeks out or 3 months out, you can book your reservations. You can book. You used to be able to book your fast track. I'm
Yeah,
riding
you
Slinky
did.
Dog Dasher at 2:30, and there was none of that. And I'm quite an organized person, but in a way, I kind of lived in that last minute moment of rush.
And it always feels like big when you go into America. I always find it's different. If I'm traveling to Europe to do stuff, it doesn't feel as like I'd be really organized, but it doesn't never feel like as you need the massive spreadsheet. If you're doing Walt Disney World, you're doing Florida, all the other Florida attractions, SeaWorld, you're going Busch Gardens, these things. I think it takes a lot of planning. Even just going to Walt Disney World, university course on how to kind of plan your way around
Well,
and
this is
park
it.
hop and
This is
all
what
these
I
things.
always thought. And as someone with a 4-year-old, it almost started to feel like not a holiday when I saw people planning these holidays. And in a way, I think this kind of played into why I had a good time, because there was no time for any of that. And we were specifically going for Epic Universe, so we didn't go to Disney. Disney wasn't on the plan at all, no, nor was anywhere else in Florida, even though my husband would have loved to have gone to Kennedy Space Center. We didn't have time. We were literally going for 5 days, and we were going to go and see Epic Universe, and that was the plan. And at the time we booked it, we didn't even know what day we were going to Epic Universe, because at the
Of course, yeah.
time you had to be in your hotel and you had to go to the front desk and say, is there any tickets available? We didn't even know 100% that there would be tickets. I had faith because no one had any issues being a hotel guest, but nothing was guaranteed. We could have gone all that way and they'd said, yes, yeah, sorry, there's just too much demand at the moment and you can't even get in. But it was a risk that I was willing to take. And it paid off. And actually, I didn't need to worry about that because between me booking it and me going, they actually opened out the previews to anyone. So you didn't even need to stay in a Universal hotel. You
Oh
can literally,
wow,
you could do it
okay.
right now. You can go on the Universal app, even in the UK, and you can buy tickets for Epic for
Right, I'm
tomorrow.
going. No, hang on.
Yeah, buy the ticket. I've got tickets. I'm not in the country, but yeah. But you can literally you can. And if you're, literally on your way to Orlando right now and you haven't got Epic tickets and you want to go, you can go and do that. So actually, before we left, we did book our tickets and we took a punt on the Monday rather than we were landing on the Saturday and we thought we won't go on the Sunday because weekends are generally busier even during the previews because
Yeah.
Americans don't. It's not so easy for them to get holiday time, so on weekends is when they go and visit
Okay.
parks. So we thought we won't go on the Sunday, we will go on the Monday. And we left ourselves really, really open. So we decided to book tickets to Universal Studios and Islands of Adventure for the Sunday when we landed because we knew we'd be up early, with the weird, it's not jet lag, it's like the opposite of Europe, like super early when you go that way. So we thought we'll go and do that on the on our first day. And also that day was May the 4th. So there was a little bit of intuition that said those parks might be quite quiet that day because a load of people are going over to Hollywood Studios because of
Good
Galaxy's
thinking.
Edge. Yeah. And I think that definitely played into it. I think a lot of people went to Epic and I think a lot of people went to Hollywood Studios because Islands of Adventure and Studios were quiet.
Yeah, amazing.
And yeah, and we went to and we booked our tickets for Epic and we said if we'll see how we find both parks or all three parks and then for our next for our third day at a park we will decide which one we want to go back to. So in terms of buying tickets it's probably not the most efficient way of doing it but also we didn't really have much choice because you at the moment you can't get any bundles which include Epic Universe. So
So you
you
can't
normally get
park
your
hop, basically.
no not at all. You can only buy preview tickets. So there was no point us getting even a 3 day park hopper ticket or something like that because that would have only included Islands of Adventure and Universal Studios. We'd always have to buy the Epic ticket separately. So we literally bought 1 day for Epic, 1 day for Universal Studios and Islands of Adventure like park hopper, and then we thought we'll see how we go. Which I don't know. I guess we can talk about Islands of Adventure and Studios maybe in another episode. But I just want to say VelociCoaster is absolutely worth it. Just want to get
So
that one
what's
out
moved out
there.
your what's moved out of your top three to fit that one in?
VelociCoaster went into the top three. So
Did it go number one?
VelociCoaster went in at number one, yeah.
Okay,
So
nice.
we're on Sunday and VelociCoaster's at number one. It was amazing. It was yeah, absolutely worth the plane fare alone.
Amazing. And do you
But
find that the 5 days was enough to get all three of those parks in?
yeah,
Because
I
obviously we can come back to talking about 2 weeks
yeah.
for
Oh yeah, for
everything, but do
everything.
you
Yeah.
think you could
For
get
just
everything
doing
done less than?
Universal. Yeah, well, we had 5 days and we had a rest day. And then on our last day was also a rest day. We didn't go into a park and we were flying at like 4 p.m. So, and we did 3 park days during those 5 days. So, yeah, depending on which way you want to skin it, I think you can. You won't see everything at all of the parks, but I think you could go for 2 weeks and not see everything at all of the parks.
Yeah,
It's like
exactly,
the
yeah.
days run away with yourself. You end up going back to the same things that you really enjoy. There was definitely loads in Universal Studios that we didn't do or see, but that was what we were kind of least interested in. We were more interested in the thrill rides rather than some of the shows and those kind of the dark rides, but not the really like good modern interactive one. Like we didn't go and do Jimmy Fallon, for example. It wasn't a priority for us. So that's kind of the background to how we got to where we are. So we'll skip over Sunday and we'll go into Monday and our first day at Epic Universe. So we're staying at Surfside. So Universal Hotel guests get 1 hour early entry. During previews, the park wasn't opening until 11 a.m. Hotel guests were at 10 a.m. The shuttle left Surfside at 9 a.m. The first shuttle, and it's about 10 minutes from there on the shuttle. The queue for the shuttle, we thought we'd be bright and early and get in it at about 8:20, and we were the first in the queue. By 8:30, the queue was huge, and not everyone was getting on that first shuttle. So bear that in mind if you are staying at a hotel and you want to get on the first shuttle of the day. So the first shuttle gets you there for about 9:20. By 9:20, there is already a big queue at the gates because if you stay at one of the new Epic Universe hotels, so that's Stella Nova or Terra Luna, you can walk to the park from there, particularly from Stella Nova. Terra Luna is a bit of a longer walk, but there is a walk, and I didn't stay there, but apparently it's out the back by the pool. There is a path. It's not that well publicized, but there is a way of doing it. Stella Nova is like a 10-minute walk. So anyone staying in those hotels can obviously get to the front gates for 7 a.m. if they want to. You could also Uber from any other hotel and get there at that time. But something to bear in mind, if you're planning to just use the shuttle, the first shuttle will not get you there early enough to be at the very front of the rope drop, if that makes sense. And also, you on the other side of the park, you've got the Helios, which is their new in-park hotel for Epic. Same there. So the guests at that hotel will start lining up in the lobby, and I saw it with my own eyes because I did do one night at Helios at 7:30 in the morning
Oh, wow.
to get through their park gate into the hotel. So if you are trying to rope drop Minecart Madness, just bear all those things in mind, because even if you are on the first shuttle of the day out of Surfside, you are going to be in a queue probably an hour long for Minecart
Wow.
Madness. It's because there's just too many people in front of you.
Yeah, wow.
And that was what we did. So we'll if we start with the Super Nintendo World Portal, because that's kind of the one that's open during early entry. That and Stardust Racers is what's open. Everything else is not. So everyone, obviously, all the hotel guests, head for Super Nintendo World. Minecart Madness has been much hyped, and it is the coaster that gets the longest queues at the park. So everyone says, use your early entry, go and queue for Minecart Madness. Cool. Okay, we do that. We follow the crowd. Everything in my heart is pulling me towards Stardust Racers.
You
I
want to go that
see
way.
it going round. I'm like, no, but I know I've got to go and do Minecart Madness. I'm just gonna have to go and do it. And I don't know, we're roller coaster fans, right? And we're excited because boom coasters are quite new. It's terrible.
Oh no.
It's so bad.
So not worth the
It's
queue.
oh, it is not worth. I would never queue for it again unless it had sub 30 minutes.
Wow, really?
And that would have to be a day where I was like, oh yeah, I kind of
Is it
don't really
just
fancy
because
doing anything
it's
else.
uncomfortable? Do you find it uncomfortable to ride? Because
There's
obviously the
just
idea is you're meant to be like bouncing over
but
things
that's the
and
thing, I don't get any of that bouncing. So you are on this suspended rail. So the track that you see is a fake track. Looks like Donkey Kong out of the game's track, and the real track is a rail underneath. And on some of the videos that I saw, I think over from Japan, you really seem to kind of jump over
Yes, that's right.
those like end of track bits. I didn't get that sensation at all. And actually, looking at some of my videos from Off Ride, it doesn't seem to do that. It doesn't seem to lift you over them at all in the way that I thought I had seen other videos show. The ride is breaking down all the time, and I know it's in previews at the moment, and this is why it's in previews, because they're ironing out all the cracks. And hopefully when it opens for real, those problems will go away. However, we're roller coaster fans, and we know that just because parks are open, roller coaster problems don't go away. Hello, Hyperia. Hello, Stealth. Hello, Return. We know that there are going to be problems. Opening is not a magic button that makes these things go away. And I think the technology is so new, it's not been built by a traditional manufacturer. It's kind of been Universal in-house working with, I think, basically a steel fabricator who've kind of made this. It. It's not like Intamin have built it or something like that. And it's just, I just kind of don't get it. I rode it,
Think
and
it's more
I'm
for the kids? Do you think it's
no.
more because was Emmy tall enough for
She's
it?
not tall enough for it.
Oh, right, okay,
No,
so it's
she
not
wasn't
like
tall
a
enough for it. Or was she might have been just, and she's 4, but she wouldn't have gone on it. Bear in mind, we'd queued for it for about almost 3 hours by the time we got on it, because it was breaking down so often.
Oh
So
my
in the queue
goodness.
line, like, you would count every 20 minutes. Well, first of all, it was supposed to open at 10, and it didn't open until 20 past 10. And then about every 20 minutes, it was like it's gone down, and it would be down for an extended period, and then you'd suddenly start seeing the empty cars going, and you might start moving again. I don't think there was that many people in front of us. I think if there'd been no issues and it was working, it had opened at 10, I think we would have been off it by 11. But it contributes. So we'd waited a long time. You know, it's like you wait for a long time,
You're not going to
and
leave the queue, are you?
no, you've already committed at that point. And but I think it does kind of hang a little bit of a cloud over your ride experience, maybe. But I was still excited. When I was sitting in the car, I was still excited to finally get on it. And I just got on it, and it just didn't give me anything that I expected. So I expected it to be a really fun family coaster. I didn't find it fun at all. Like there was no fun and there was no airtime or anything like that.
Oh, right.
You had these little weird bits where the car kind of shakes from side to side. And that just felt weird. It didn't feel intentional. It felt wrong.
Okay.
Some of the effects, they didn't work. There's a bit, you've probably seen the video where Donkey Kong's kind of supposed to come towards you and then you kind of swerve out the way. Donkey Kong wasn't working. So you didn't get that. And it's really short. It's so short. So you're on it, you have these weird little wobbles from side to side. If you're sat in the back row, you don't get any of the visuals of the like broken track. You literally
And you
cannot
can't
see
see.
them from the back row. And there's only two rows, but you can't see them. And then before you know it, you're getting off it. And I definitely came away from that ride with a was that it kind of feeling.
And for your first ride as well, you've just
Yeah, and
arrived at Epic and it's that's your first ride. So did it make you feel a bit like, oh?
the thing is, I kind of went in with those. I went in with the expectation that this wasn't going to be my favorite coaster in the park. I knew I could look at Stardust Races and I knew that was going to be my favorite coaster in the park. Like, I just knew. But I also knew, as a theme park enthusiast, I had to tick it off. So I kind of was like, oh, I've got to go and tick it off. But I went in with an expectation that it could be a lot of fun. Like, you go on Hagrid's, it's a lot of fun. And it just wasn't fun for me. I'm sure some people have really enjoyed it, but for me, it was a one and done for me. But at the same time, I didn't walk away from it being like, right, now I'm in a bad mood about the park. I was still like, I got off the ride. Obviously, you're in Florida, the sun's shining, it's beautiful, there's blue skies, this whole Donkey Kong Country, which it's in, which is like a sub portal of Super Nintendo World, is amazingly themed. Really, really well done. There's music everywhere, there's interactive stuff, the staff are great. Like, you're having a good time in a theme park, even if your ride experience isn't great. And I think that really helps.
Yes, it does.
But yeah, obviously by the time we'd got off that, the park was now open to everyone. So other rides were at, in Super Nintendo World were busy. And this isn't the order I did it, but I'll just stick with the other rides in Super Nintendo. We've got Yoshi, which is like a people mover, which if you've got kids, fairly short, but my 4-year-old loved it. I mean, we re-rode Yoshi more than any other ride in that park. She loved it. You kind of
I'd love it.
collect
I
some
just
eggs.
sit on Yoshi, just going around.
And
And you get
sometimes you
nice
need
views as
that.
well,
You get
don't you,
really
from
good
the
views.
area.
You get really good views. There's a little, like, you have to spot the eggs as you're going around and they push the buttons. And
Oh, that's
it was
cute.
often a walk on. And sometimes if you see a queue for Yoshi for like 45 minutes, do not get in it. It will get down. It ranged from 45, 50 minutes to zero. Like, it literally fluctuated that much. And then you've got Mario Kart Bowser's Challenge, which I'd seen a lot of people say they really enjoyed. And again, that for me was not a great dark ride
Have you
experience.
played the game? Have you
Oh
played Mario
yeah, I mean,
Kart?
I grew up on Mario Kart. Rainbow Road, I am there. Like, I am a demon on Mario Kart, dude.
Amazing.
Always
Maybe
Toad.
I love a bit of Mario Kart. But I love the whole Nintendo idea. The problem is going on a dark ride on Mario Kart, I'll feel like I need to be going faster.
Oh well,
Does
this
that
is
make
it.
sense?
And I expected a bit of speed to it, and there is no speed to it. It's slow. It's a very it feel It, this wasn't the order I did things, so I'd already done some of the more new Universal stuff like Monsters Unchained. So when I went on Mario Kart, it felt like a real backward step in terms of technology. The queue line for it, amazing, brilliant,
Bowser's
really,
Castle
really
and
good.
all that
Yeah,
looks very
really
good.
well done. But the ride experience itself, you get given a visor to wear, like a hat, a Mario hat, which is really uncomfortable. It's like hard plastic. You watch a video which doesn't, I came away from the video thinking I've learned nothing about what I'm supposed to be doing. Because it's one of those videos, obviously, it's got to be like multilingual. So there's no speech in it. It's just you're kind of watching the visuals of how you're supposed to ride the ride. And I didn't understand it. But I mean, maybe that's just me. There's a lot of push and buttons. And if you've got power-up bands, which you can get in Super Nintendo World, you can add them to it as well. We didn't have those. So I just kind of got on the ride. And when you get on the ride, you get this kind of manky pair of goggles that you clip into your hat. But already during the previews, like the elastic that's holding the goggles onto the ride vehicle is like a bit gross.
Because it's Florida, it's hot.
It's
sweaty.
Hot. Everyone's picking them
sweaty
up.
Sweaty visors.
Yeah, you don't get new glasses. The glasses stay with the ride vehicle. So that was a bit weird. And
what's the purpose of them?
So they just are for those your that like don't VR. Know. They're your like augmented reality glasses, okay. So that you can ride the ride without them, and I guess it would look kind of okay. But these glasses kind of give you more visuals whilst you're on the mm-hmm. ride. And the idea is you are in Mario Kart and you are racing, and you're racing the team on the other. On the other ride.
That's
car.
Right.
It just, I don't know. I thought that augmented reality stuff wasn't very good. I found it really hard to focus on. It wasn't super realistic at all. Okay. I just found it hard to see what was going on. And actually my husband, who, as we've discussed, is a fire pilot, and he uses, you know, visors in his everyday life, which put all kinds of information in front of his eyes. Like that's literally how it works. He found exactly the same. He's like, I kind of couldn't focus on it. There was too much going on. So we found that a bit weird. There was one bit of it of the ride that was really good when you kind of went into a dark bit and there was some wind blowing at you. So it made you feel like you were going a lot faster than you were. And that's kind of what I would have liked for the whole ride.
Yeah.
But it kind of is what it is. Again, it's a one and done for me. So for the rides in Super Nintendo World, actually, the only one I'd go back on is probably Yoshi, unless the others had a really short queue. But Super Nintendo World itself is brilliantly done.
You can imagine if you're a massive fan of Mario and those games, and you're going to absolutely love it, aren't you? Because it's like, what I love with Epic is the with these portals, it's like you are literally being transported into a different place, aren't you? So with Nintendo, if you're a massive fan of it, you feel like you're in your own little immersive world, essentially.
And that's the thing with that Super Nintendo portal. It's the only portal where it's not flat to enter. So you go in through up an escalator and you're like in the green tube, as if you are going up one of the kind of green pipes in the game. And all the music's playing as you're going up that escalator. It's really, really cool. If you
and
have
does
a
it
young...
do the classic bloop, bloop.
Oh, yeah, there's all of that. There's all of that. And as soon as you go into Princess Peach's castle, as soon as you walk out, you are just met with this kind of sensory overload of where am I? Like the music is really loud, the colours, the brightness, coins spinning everywhere around you. It's the only land where it's really built on levels. Again, I guess to kind of replicate the game. So you enter up high and then you have to go down lots of steps, which some people complain about. I didn't find them too bad, even with a child, with a buggy. There's an escalator in the corner. There's an elevator in the corner you can use.
Yeah.
It's just amazing how quickly you've immersed yourself in that. Okay, I'm in Super Nintendo World now. This was really my takeaway from Epic that I have never seen done in a theme park before is this idea of a central area with portals that take you to the theme lands. You know, normally you kind of just transition like at Phantasialand. You can be in Rookburg and you kind of transition quite gently out, or you're in Mexico and you transition into Klugheim, and it's really well done, but it's a transition. Like this is different. Yeah. These portals transport you immediately. And all your senses are transported immediately. And that's really, really clever.
I really like that. I think it's cool.
I've never seen anything like it in a theme park before. And that world is so colourful and so bright. If you are a Super Nintendo fan, or even if you're not, so my husband's a big retro gamer. I played the games growing up, but I'm not a gamer at all. Our daughter is 4 and has never played them. We all loved it.
Yeah.
It is the busiest. It feels the busiest of all the portals. Because I think because of those levels, and obviously it is popular because it's Super Nintendo World.
The most iconic theme, I think, out of all the IPs that they've chosen to focus on, I think that one particular kind of appeals to all ages. Like for those that grew up with playing on a Nintendo in the late 80s, early 90s, and then Nintendo 64 kind of era.
Yeah.
You've definitely got, I think that's why Nintendo is so good, because it kind of, you're going to get such a wide range of ages going into that one place. Where I suppose like Dark Universe, I suppose is very different in the kind of people it's going to kind of pull into that area. So you can kind of see why.
And Super Nintendo World for me was very much that retro era that you talk about, like the N64, even the SNES era, that is built to look like that. The way the levels work and the way the clouds kind of move across.
Yeah. It's Which is clever because the games were like that kind of 2D platform games.
Yeah.
But it's clever because it's designed to look like the 2D games, but it's still 3D.
Yeah.
So it's very well designed, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Yeah. So that was that world. That's the ride in that world. Obviously, there's places to eat. There's shops if you're a Nintendo fan. Like, go and shop to your heart's content in there. There's absolutely loads. And there's character meet and greets as well. Toad comes out. I don't know how they do Toad. I don't know if it's just a really short person. I have no idea how, but he's brilliant. And he, like, he comes properly stomping out for the character being introduced. He's hilarious. And Mario and Luigi come out and they do a little dance. And the queues to meet those guys weren't too long either. We saw them. And obviously in this world as well, if you've got those power-up bands, you can go around the world kind of knocking the question blocks.
Yeah.
And collecting coins. I didn't do that. And I'm still not exactly sure what happens when you collect the coins. I think you get them on an app. I don't think you win anything, but it's something you can do. There seems to be a lot of people enjoying themselves doing that, but we were kind of pressed for time, so we didn't do that. We moved on. You've mentioned Dark Universe, so let's go through that portal next, which again is something which has had a lot of hype. But like you say, it's kind of a bit of a different theme. So this is the classic Universal monsters. So the Frankenstein monster, you know, Wolfman, the Invisible Man, all these kind of things. And these are not things that I am that familiar with. Like, I know the legend of them, but I've never seen any of the films at all.
It's an interesting theme to choose, isn't it?
Did you think
it made it better, not knowing much about the characters or having seen the original kind of films?
To me, it just stands on its own as a theme, as a themed land. So even if it wasn't based on any of those characters, for me, as someone who doesn't kind of know the ins and outs of them, it didn't detract from it at all, because this portal is just mind-blowing. It's you cannot kind of appreciate enough that this was a field a few years ago and they've managed to build this land that feels like the show building for Monsters Unchained looks like Alton Towers. Like, it's as big as Alton Towers. But it's a show building. It's insane. And the detailing everywhere in this land. And again, it's this portal. So you walk through this portal. You've been in Celestial Park. It's really bright. I've just come out of Super Nintendo World. I've had a sensory overload. Mm-hmm. I walk through the Dark Universe portal and everything kind of goes whoom. And it's, the music's really slow. And it's, and you just get, you feel slightly on edge almost. It's creepy. Everything is just themed beautifully. You've got this manor which is just imposing over the top of you, and there's lighting effects going up on that. Even during the daytime, you're seeing them, and the Burning Blade Tavern windmill is like...
Did you actually figure out how they do that effect yet?
Well,
how long did you stand there going?
we watch the Burning Blade, and it lights up during the day as well. My husband's very good at this kind of thing, and he confidently tells me it's done with gas. It's not fuel being kind of poured into any lines.
It's really effective, but obviously, I'm sure it's more impressive when you actually see it right in front of you. But even when you watch it on someone's POV or vlog, you're looking at it going, that's insanely clever how they managed to get it to look like it's just burning.
And it's just the thought, like the job that Universal Creative have done on this. You know, I just love that someone sat there and thought, I'm going to make a windmill that sets itself on fire.
Why not?
It's genius. It's so good. And actually, if you want to capture that, if you are a content-y type person, there's a bell which tolls near the mansion house. When that bell goes, you've got about 3 minutes, maybe less, and then the blade will set on fire. So that's your call to go and get in position. I absolutely loved this world. The rides in it, so you've got Curse of the Werewolf, which is a spinning coaster, not super spinny, and very short. There's a swing launch in the middle of it. Family friendly, I would say, if you meet the height restriction. It's not intense at all. No. I actually rode it at night. And I think that was the better way to do it because there's a lot of sound effects, like werewolf sound effects, which I think might get lost in the daytime. At night, everything's kind of amplified when you don't have light and stuff, I find around me. So I thought that was quite good. And you couldn't see the track so much at night, so it was a bit more impactful. But yeah, as far as coasters go, nice enough. Nothing groundbreaking, but does fit really nicely into the area.
And how did the netting look? So we mentioned that as well. Does it look, it still
detracts
doesn't...
a little bit. It does detract a little bit. It's weird because in a way, it's almost like cobwebs. Universe. If you kind of squint, you can kind of say that, okay, well, if of any world that you're going to put them in, it gets away with it the most. Would it look better without? Yeah. And I kind of don't understand why they haven't just done a locker area, because they are really good with the lockers and the metal detectors on other rides at Universal.
But this was the one you have to take a bag on with you.
Yeah, you just
it?
Take your bag on, literally on with you. So yeah, a bit strange. I don't know why they've decided to do that, and I don't know if that's a permanent thing, but it is what it is. It didn't spoil my day. Let's put it. I don't get too upset about stuff like that.
No. And having done Ride to Happiness as well, I suppose you've been on something that's a lot more intense.
Doesn't compare to Ride to Happiness. Yeah, at all. It's much more of a family spinning coaster. Very smooth, fun, but yeah, not on that scale. But obviously the big landmark ride in that area is Monsters Unchained, which absolutely blew my mind. And Kev, we've talked on this podcast a lot about you being a dark ride fan. And I would love to see your reaction to going on that ride.
I've really tried to not look at anything on it.
Don't watch a POV. Because I've watched a POV since, and it doesn't come close.
Yeah.
To what
I want to, a lot of these things I'd like to be able to see without watching it beforehand.
Yeah.
Because I know I've not spoiled rides, but I think you almost lose that that moment of wow.
Yeah.
You know
what? Like,
so people keep telling me this. So yeah,
I'm not going to spoil it at all. There's no ride spoilers here because I know there'll be a lot of people like you. And I went into it totally blind. I didn't know what to expect. I knew what the ride mechanics were. I knew what ride vehicle I was in.
To the Harry Potter one, isn't it?
Over at Islands of Adventure. But I think what you will really appreciate about this ride is that we're bringing animatronics back. In a big way. This is not screen-based dark ride stuff.
Nice.
This is I did a video about it and I said it's almost retro, and it is. And I don't know how much of that is intentional, because obviously these are classic Universal monsters, and in a way you can't. It is a bit like retro feeling, but in no way do I say that, and I mean that it's not modern, because this is state of the art modern animatronics, like done flawlessly. So immersive, so intense. What I loved about it, and you know I don't do dark rides, and I get
I was
scared,
gonna say
there's no jump scares in it that I saw, unless they weren't working, but there was no point in it where I was like, I'm really not enjoying it. I enjoyed the ride from start to finish, even as someone who does get scared of scary dark rides.
I was gonna say, because you're obviously, you don't like when it's suddenly loud or things make you jump.
Yeah,
so I was gonna say you had a nicer ride experience because of that.
Yeah, there wasn't anything that shocked me, you know, a sudden loud scream in my ear or anything like that. There was none of that. But having said that, there was a lot to take in, and I rode it twice and I still have not seen anywhere close to all the detail that's in that ride. And obviously we're in preview, so some of the things that worked the first time didn't work the second time, and vice versa. And I still don't know if I've seen the whole ride, obviously, because I don't know what the whole ride should look like. But both of my rides were really, really good on that. And if you are going to Epic, and if there's an hour long queue, a 90 minute queue, you just get yourself in the queue. You won't regret it. It's absolutely phenomenal. I don't want to do any spoilers, but that it brings so many different elements all together. Everything you want in a good dark ride, that ride has got.
Amazing.
And the queue line. Mark talked about it on our episode last week, but the queue line, I think he was talking about Battle of the Ministry, actually, about how, you know, it's like an e-ticket attraction itself. It's the same with Monsters Unchained. there's just too much to take in almost. And if it is a 90-minute queue, you will walk that 90-minute queue. It's continuous ride. Like, there's a turntable of ride vehicles going off. So it's always moving. Mm-hmm. And you will just be taking it all in. And those minutes are going to fly by for you. So,
yeah, that's what you need. You the queue should be always being a part of the experience as well. And I think that's why, even if it was an hour queue, 90-minute queue, I'm happy to queue, because it means you get to see all these things that you know, if you're a single rider and stuff. Do they do single rider?
They do single rider. It wasn't always open, and it was sometimes at capacity. Yeah, so if you go on the single rider queue for Monsters and Change, you will miss the queue, and you kind of get dumped in right at the start of the where you load the vehicles. So yeah, you will miss that. But the single rider queues weren't always open, and that was a theme across the whole visit. Sometimes they were open, but they were at capacity, so you kind of can't rely on the single rider queues as well. But you want to experience that queue line at least once, I think, and the pre-shows in it, because they're telling the story of the ride as well. You kind of need to know the backstory of what's happening to you whilst you're in the ride. So
just
that ride has had a lot of hype, and for me, it absolutely lived up to every little bit of it. In fact, the first day we were there, and we didn't know if we were coming back for a second day at this point, it had been down a lot during the day, and we went over it to it last thing when it had opened, and we were speaking to one of the ride hosts, because our daughter was asleep in the buggy at the time, and you can't take buggies in and in the queue line, which is what you queue together at Universal. That's how they do the parent switch. And he was you cannot miss this attraction. He was like, you have to go on it. And he sorted us out with a way that we could basically parent switch, and it all worked out. And he really helped us out for that. But he was like, do not go back to the UK without riding this attraction.
I'm staying here.
He was like, I'm getting you on this ride.
Yeah.
Just phenomenal. And that area at night. It's not dark very much at the moment in Florida, obviously. It stays late, light so late. And the park as a whole comes alive at night. But if you've only got a little bit of nighttime to experience in the park, spend it in Dark Universe.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really, really good. And the Burning Blade Tavern has one of my favorite snacks that I ate the whole time there. And that's very important to me as a theme park fan. The garlic steak was the single most garlicky thing I've ever experienced in my life. It's like garlic
wood off the vampires.
Yeah, that's it. A Dracula wasn't coming anywhere near me. It was the most garlic, buttery, dripping, loaded bit of bread I've ever had in my life. And then it came with garlic dip. Wow. It was insane. Wow. It was so good.
Amazing. And did Nick get his mead?
He did, but he got that... over in Isle of Burke, actually. You can get it in Dark Universe, but you can also get it over in Isle of Burke. So let's go over there now, because I think Isle of Burke, which is How to Train Your Dragon land.
Yes.
Is my favourite portal. Okay. Yeah, I think it was. In fact, I know it was. Dark
Universe. How many times has this changed your mind since being there? Probably.
The thing with, so obviously we had a 4-year-old with us, so she's interested. For her, this is the most like recognizable land for her.
Yeah.
She's watched the How to Train Your Dragon films. And again, you go through this portal, you're in Celestial Park, everything's like flowery and beautiful. You go through this portal and you are transported and you are on the Isle of Berg. And this land is just colourful and bright and full of life, and the staff are all referred to you as Vikings when you're in there. And there are animatronic dragons everywhere in there, like places you don't think to see them, and then you'll suddenly see one and it's like sleeping behind a fence somewhere. And there's obviously huge ones that you can't miss that are out like breathing snow over you or throwing water over you. It's just, and you've got the music, and that when you've seen these epic universe previews, everyone's using the How to Train Your Dragon theme music for it, because it's so iconic. And that music just blasts at you as you walk in there, and you do feel like, wow, I am entering something incredible when you walk through there. And there's a load of good attractions in there. So Hiccup's Wing Gliders, Mark talked about on our episode last week, which is the family coaster.
Yeah.
And he said I think it's the sleeper attraction of the whole park. And I think he's probably right. It's a family coaster, family launch coaster.
Yep.
Think Gold Rush at Drayton Manor, but better. And I love Gold Rush. that we like done by Universal. I can't, people have referred to it as a mini Hagrid's, and I kind of get that.
Yeah, I've seen people. Yeah,
it's got a bit of, it's just that Universal kind of pizzazz about it. They've just taken a family launch coaster and they've just done something different with it. And again, I don't want to do ride spoilers, but it's, it gets a fairly hefty queue, but again, it is worth it. And the only thing I'll say about that one is the queue line is a cattle pen queue line. It's not an, it's not a single one, and it's only under sales. It's not in a building, so it does get quite hot. You've got little ones with you. That's the worst thing about the ride, but the ride itself is really, really good fun. And actually, my daughter's tall enough to get on it, but she didn't want to because she's only just tall enough. But even me just riding as a grown adult, I genuinely loved that roller coaster.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, it's absolutely re-rideable. It's not.
And the launches, are they, because it's obviously a family launch coaster, it's not going to be as intense.
No, think like Gold, if you've done Gold Rush at Drayton Manor, it's that kind of level of launch. It's not throw your head back in the seat type thing, but it's fun. And it just, every launch makes sense in the roller coaster, if that makes sense. Like they're there for a purpose.
Yes.
Yeah, it's, and it's this theming all throughout it, that this coaster goes all like round the land. It's quite, it's quite elongated, and everywhere you go, there's something to see on it. So
amazing.
Yeah.
I guess it's probably why it'd be busy as well, because if it's just over a meter kind of height.
Yeah, it's accessible.
You're going to get a lot of people trying to get on that ride, aren't you? So would you say it's one to do early?
Well,
if you're not going to Nintendo.
If you're not going to Nintendo, obviously Isle of Boat doesn't open till, well, it was 11, now 10. It's not open for the early hour. But if you aren't going to Nintendo, what I would say is go and queue up outside the portal before it opens. We actually did this on our second day because we knew we weren't going to do My Kart Madness again, and Stardust Races wasn't open on our second day. So we, we decided we'd go and queue early for Isle of Burke, and we did that to actually go and do the Toothless meet and greet. So you have probably seen videos of this. Toothless is there to meet and greet. He is the big black dragon from How to Train Your Dragon. He's the main character. He is a huge animatronic meet and greet. And
I was going to say,
very interactive.
Is it animatronic or is it controlled by somebody?
I'm not 100%.
Because I can't figure it out.
I don't
know. I'm watching it going.
It's definitely interactive. So if you like stroke him on his nose, he'll like crinkle his nose and shut his eyes and he'll look at you. And if, you know, if Hiccup kind of speaks to him, he'll respond to that. So it's very good. But if you have a child with you who loves those films, even if they don't love those films, if they just love dragons, it is a moment I will never forget, is my child meeting Toothless. And just to her, he was real.
Yeah.
And
it almost looks real. That's how clever.
Even to me as an adult, I'm like, hang on a sec.
I'm watching it going, huh? How do they do it? It's so clever.
Yeah. I'm not really one for character meet and greets, and I see people queuing up for hours and hours to meet Mickey and Minnie, and I'm like, what? It's just a load of like 16-year-olds in a costume, isn't it? I
don't. Well, spoiler alert here, just in case you weren't.
I've never really got it, but that one I really wanted to do, and I'm so glad that we did it, and we got some of the photos from it, and they were really good. They took videos on my own phone for me.
You know,
it wasn't like no, you have to just get the official ones. They were doing stuff for you. The queue for him gets long. Yeah, I'm talking 2 hours long.
Oh wow!
Outside with very little shade. So yeah, my recommendation is if you want to do that meet and greet, you go and queue up early outside the portal and you go and get it done. We did that. My husband is quite the speed walker when he needs to be. No running. And we were the first in line to meet Toothless that day. By the time we'd finished our meet and greet, the queue was 90 minutes long.
Wow.
So bear in mind, our meet and greet was probably 5 minutes in that time.
Wow. And this is still preview time as well. You've got to bear in mind, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So it's a shame you almost can't book a slot, but then haven't seen how the virtual queue worked for Battle at the Ministry. Like, probably not. We'll get on to that. But yeah, it's one of those that's worth doing. But you be prepared to queue, or be prepared to queue early outside the portal. Mm-hmm. but yeah. It is worth it. And the other thing that's worth it, which you don't need to queue for, and it happens very regularly, is the Untrainable Dragon Show, which is on about every 45 minutes. It's a huge theatre. It's all air conditioned once you're in there. You can get in about 15 minutes early usually. And that show, again, I don't often go and spend my time in theme parks going and watching sit-down shows because I'm usually too busy. I'm like, ride. Mm-hmm, but it was really hot. You've got a four-year-old with you. You're like, actually, that makes sense to go and do that. And that show was phenomenal. Only about 20 minutes long, so not a huge amount of time out of your day.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to see Toothless flying, go and see that show. It is stunning. Like, it is tears in your eyes. Good. And I am not an emotional person.
Was that because your daughter was enjoying it or just the actual show?
You know what it's like. Yeah. If you look at your kids and they when they audibly gasp at something that they can't believe they're seeing, it's that. And it's then obviously you've got all the music and all the, you know, the actors in there are just phenomenal as well. Like, they could have been in the real, you know, the real life version, which is coming out very soon. Like, they're amazing. Yeah. And yeah, it's, we saw that show 3 times.
Wow. So it was good then.
Yeah.
Definitely worth it then. Oh, fantastic. Because there's two other attractions as well in that area. Did you manage to do the other rides?
So there's Fire Drill, which is your splash battle. We all know my thoughts on a splash battle. It's kind of different in the Florida heat. That was down a lot whilst we were there. It literally reopened in our last 20 minutes in the park on our last day.
Oh, wow.
And we did queue for it, but a few boats from the front, my daughter decided she didn't want to do it. She was tall enough to do it all the time. She's like, I want to go on the boats, queue up for boats. And then she decided she didn't want to do it. So we actually didn't end up getting on it. But, you know, it's a splash battle.
Yeah.
It looks like a very good, well-themed splash battle.
It's a filler. And, it's a filler attraction, isn't it, like we say?
Apparently miss the blue targets. If you hit the blue targets, you will get a bucket load of water chopped on you. And the other one is Dragon Rally Races, which is like Skyforce at Blackpool Pleasure Beach, or was.
What was there? Yeah. It's over an epic
and
now.
Again, we didn't get. I was never going to go on that because I never enjoyed Skyforce. My husband was one of those people on Skyforce who you saw constantly spinning. So he was quite keen to get on it.
Probably isn't anything still anywhere near to some of the stuff you'd have to do in a jet anyway.
In real life.
So you would just keep spinning. This is nothing for me.
that for some reason, the whole time we were there, had really long queues, and I'm not sure why. They have two of them and they often operate in sync. A lot of the time they weren't. There was one going and then the other one wasn't, which was meaning the queues for it were like 45, 50 minutes. And we just couldn't justify that time for a ride, which he'd obviously done before at Blackpool. And we knew you couldn't spin like you could at Blackpool. Also, he timed it and they were on the ride. The ride was spinning total for 33 seconds.
Oh, wow. So
that's how short it was. So, you don't really want to be queuing 45 minutes for one of those. And then for only 33 seconds, you've got no time to kind of get any momentum or anything to get it.
Yeah, that's it really, yeah. Oh,
but
wow.
It's themed really nicely. If when it opens, it gets down, you know, if we went back again, I'm sure he'd try and get on it. They've definitely put some blocks on it to stop you spinning. Like, nobody was getting anywhere on it. But right next to it is a play area as well on the Isle of Berk, which is quite nice. So that my plan originally was me and my daughter would go in the play area whilst he did that. And that is a really nice, well-themed play area. Lots of levels, loads of stuff for them to go and check out. So that's really cool. And the best food that we had was from Isle of Berk. We had one of these mac and cheese cones, which have been going all over the internet.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a bread bun filled with mac and cheese. And I've heard some people say that it's a bit hard and it's a bit stodgy. Nah, we absolutely loved it.
Amazing.
We've been dreaming about that ever since. It was really, really good.
Must find the recipe.
I know. My husband was like, should we just buy a baguette and just stuff it with mac and cheese? I was like, I don't
it's
think
never
going
to be the same, though, is it?
Not the same.
Never going to be the same.
Isle of Berk is what I'm kind of missing the most, I think. I keep having a little middle of the day daydream thinking, I wish I was just walking around Isle of Berk now.
We've all been there as enthusiasts, so we all sit together.
We could just
be walking around this bit right now.
Exactly. So that was fun. This one's going to be really hard for me to talk about. This is Harry Potter, the Wizard in Paris. Ministry of Magic port or whatever we're calling it. I don't actually know what its official name is. It's something like that. I think it might act that its full title might be that. It's basically the Harry Potter area, the Ministry of Magic area of the park, which isn't, I'm not a Harry Potter fan or a Harry Potter head at all. I've never read the books and I've never seen the film. So this is all alien to me. My understanding is the portal is 1920s France, which is from Fantastic Beasts. I don't know if that means anything to you.
I kind of blocked Fantastic Beasts out.
But was it not good for you?
Not the same. It's not the same as the Harry Potter stuff.
Okay.
I know it's set in the same world, but it's not quite. It's not the same.
Well, this is what I don't really understand how these things interact. But what I can say with some confidence is when you walk through that portal, you absolutely feel like you're in France. And whether it's 1920s France or not, I don't know. I mean, you go to France, you go to Paris a lot. France has that feeling, you know, there are these buildings still which are, you know, old and very grand, and that portal absolutely replicated those. And once again, the portal did its job. It transported you into it. There, if you are a Harry Potter fan and you've got one of the wands, almost every single window in this land has something you can...
That's very cool.
Shake you on that. Yeah. this is the extent of my Harry Potter knowledge. Like, very super limited, but I'm a theme park fan and I can take it for what it is as a themed area.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
There is one ride in...
Just the one.
Just the one, and I did not ride it. And it wasn't through the want of trying. And this will change. I'm sure it will change. But during previews... Well, firstly, right now, it's closed. It's not going to open again now till I think it's May the 18th. Whilst I was there, it was using the dreaded virtual queue system. So this is a virtual queue that opens for selection at 11 a.m, 3 p.m. and 6 p.m, which sounds easy enough. I've got three chances to get on the ride. Fine, I'll get on it. The ride itself wasn't opening until 3 p.m. each day. So that 11 a.m. drop was to select ride times from 3 p.m.
Okay.
The park's only open till 9, so you've already only got like a 6-hour window there to get on it. From what I heard, the drops were so limited. You were talking maybe 200 passes per drop.
Oh my goodness.
600 people in a day out of a park, which I don't know what the capacity was whilst we were there, but say it was 12,000 people.
Yeah.
It was that kind of limited. And believe me, I did every trick that every Universal influencer has given everyone. They were like, right, stay off the Wi-Fi. Check it before 11. Like, it'll go blue before 11 sometimes. And it did. And you get into a selection page and it's like, right, how many guests do you want to take with you? And they're like, toggle the number of guests, toggle them. So I was doing that. Then you'll get your ride times. And I did. I got ride times. And they're like, select the ride times. It'll tell you no. And then keep going, keep clicking. And I did all of that.
Still
didn't get it. And the people stood next to us who we got speaking to, we were in the queue for Minecart Madness at this time, were doing exactly the same as us, and they got one. There was no difference. It was just pure luck. And then the other hint that I got told was, once you've done that, don't leave that screen. So one of you keep your phone logged in on that kind of queue line where it's told you, no, there's no slots available.
Yeah.
And the other one use their phone for the rest of the day, because then when the next drop happens at 3, you're kind of into the process already.
Yeah.
So I did that and I still didn't get it. So I don't know what the deal is with that ride. As I said, I'm not a Harry Potter fan. So it really, I'm sure there would have been people, the people I was next to in Minecart Madness, she was dressed up in her full like robe.
Yeah.
She would have been devastated if she didn't get on that ride. I really was not fussed. And you can still walk the queue line.
Yes.
Without going on the attraction. And for me, the queue line is probably the most impressive thing about it. And I know people who've ridden the ride have said the same as well. Like, the ride is great, but actually it's the queue line that is the wow moment.
Yeah. It's like you're actually walking through the Ministry of Magic, isn't it?
Yeah, and I've never seen it. You know. So I had nothing to compare it to. My sister, by the way, is a huge Harry Potter fan. She's got the robe. She's, you know, she went to Wizarding World when it opened. She queued some stupid amount of time to get into it. And she can't believe that I don't appreciate what this stuff is. She was like, are you under the Ministry? do magic. I'm like, oh, did I?
No. Am I? What is it?
Yeah, exactly.
Did you go through the flu network? Through the did you magic, understand what any thing. Of that
so
was?
So I was like, yeah, so I've seen that and we did go through it. So you can do all of that mm-hmm. without getting on the, at the moment, I don't know if that'll change at opening, but at the yeah. moment you can go through it all. You get your little puff of smoke and you walk through it. And then you walk out into this ministry of magic, which I now appreciate that's what it is. Mm-hmm. But she's like, you went through the flu network. And I was like, oh, is that what it was? I don't know.
That's really funny.
But even if I didn't know what it was, as a piece of theming, if this wasn't Harry Potter, if this was just a theme park who's yeah. just created this experience and like, mm-hmm. this is how it transports you from this into that, it's mm. genius.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And then, yeah, when you walk out into this... what is the Ministry of Magic? The scale of it, the videos that you see will not do it justice. This mm-hmm. thing is, it's got to be 6-7 stories high inside.
Yeah.
Green tiled up yeah. over the
like room. It is in the films, the set and everything was huge. They've obviously tried to replicate yeah. how it looks on the films, and all the offices look like they go really high up. And there's
oh yeah,
and is it's it not, like the ceiling is
yeah,
is like a screen? Is there stuff going on the ceiling? Is yeah, it like there a is. Projection yeah. thing on the ceiling as well?
Yeah, there is, and it's none of it's forced perspective. It is mm-hmm. it is genuinely that big in there.
And how far can you get?
So you can get,
because obviously there'll be a point where obviously you yeah. then start queuing for the actual ride
the
itself.
The actual ride, yes.
How far can you get before they stop you?
When I was there, well, we didn't try and go any further than where they started checking for your tickets.
Yeah.
Which was where you see that big green room. It was kind of off one of the corridors off mm-hmm. that room. At the moment, you can apparently walk the full queue line because the ride isn't open. And some people, I think, did walk the full queue line even without tickets. And if they check in tickets again at the literally at the mm-hmm. loading point of the vehicles, yeah. I'm not 100% sure. I think when it opens, I don't think you'll be able to go down that bit of the queue line at all. I hope they'll still let you into the Ministry of Magic, even if you're not riding, because it's a huge space. Like, this thing is cavernous. It's mm-hmm. massive. And even as somewhere that when it's raining or it's too hot, you know, it's really cool and nice in there. And there's so much going on. If you're a Harry Potter fan, there's so much to see in there. Mm-hmm. I think it would be great if they let people just go in it anyway, because if it stays on the virtual queue, you're going to have the same problems that I had. If yeah. it's not on the virtual queue, the attraction's going to have a 5-hour queue, isn't it?
Oh, like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what it was like when they first opened Wizarding World. So mm-hmm. I think for Harry Potter fans to at least be able to experience that would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Mm-hmm. I guess that remains to be seen.
What I love is the way that they can hide these show buildings,
mm.
where these rides are. And it's some of the things that make these rides just so special and unique and so immersive, is to feel like you're walking in one place and you can't even see where the ride actually is located. Can
yeah, yeah.
you? You're no, literally no, walking no. through these streets into the Ministry of Magic,
yeah.
not knowing where these actual ride actually is. And I think that's what makes Universal and Disney so good at doing what they do, because they yeah. can hide. It's not like at Legoland Windsor with the monster, what's it called? The house, haunted house,
yeah,
monster party or something, where it's like, here's the show building with the little facade on the front, and it does my head in every time yeah. I see it. It's like, why can't we hide it? But yeah, no. but Universal and stuff, that they do this.
You wouldn't
like
know
that.
There was a ride there at all. In yeah. fact, if you didn't have a park map, you wouldn't know where in that portal the ride was. Like, you mm-hmm. wouldn't have a clue. There's no signs for it or anything. You just, amazing. It's kind of tucked away in a corner. Yeah, it's really good from that point of view. And there's loads of like cafes and loads of yeah, quick serves and, yeah. and bars and stuff in there. And they were all themed like as if they were French.
Mm.
Like, I've been in enough French cafes to know this is genuinely what they look like.
Yeah.
So that's really nice. It's probably the area we spent the least time in, just because
mm-hmm. it wasn't
it's
open.
Not really our thing.
Not open. Sorry.
Yeah. It's
because you were obviously struggling to get on it.
Struggling to get on the ride. It didn't mean as much to us as the other things, and there was so much other stuff that we wanted to do more. But we did have a good explore all around it. And yeah, if you've got the wands, there's absolutely loads you can do. There's loads of hidden. Little, I guess it's from Fantastic Beasts, beasts all around it as well.
And it makes sense because over in Ireland's Adventure and Universal Studios, they've got Diagon Alley. You've got all the things, Gringotts. Yeah. There's no, you can't, you've got to, I'm guessing they focus on Fantastic Beasts because then it was a way of, okay, what can you not see?
Yeah.
Over what, at the other parks.
Yeah, yeah. What okay, can we
we'll
give you?
This, like this. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
Okay. So that was the last portal. And then obviously you've got Celestial Park itself, which is the central hub of this park. And it is like the heartbeat of this park. And there's two rides in it. There's the Constellation Carousel, which, you know, from an off-ride point of view, just looks like, oh, it's a bit of a weird carousel. It is beautiful, especially at night. But even in the daytime, this was the ride that I rode the second most because it was, again, a favorite for my daughter.
Yeah.
And what's really nice is you can fit three of you in some of the animals. So you've got single animals where one of you gets on, or you've got like kind of boat animals and three of you can sit on that together. So that's quite nice because often it's only two and one of the parents go separately. And there's different cycles on it. There's different music. The animals light up. It spins in a totally different way depending on which music you get. And it's just a work of art in itself. It is really nice. And don't kind of look at it and go, it's just a carousel. It is well worth doing. And at night, it just comes alive. It's like you're doing a ballet. Like it's not like any other carousel. It's really, really well done. It's definitely got a bit of that Universal touch to it. But the big one is Stardust Racers, which absolutely went in at number one on my coasters list. It knocked Velocicoaster. Velocicoaster went flying off into the distance. Yeah, and a lot of people don't agree with me on that. A lot of people would still rate Velocicoaster number one. However, for me, Stardust Racers topped it. And it topped it because how it looks aesthetically is so pleasing to me. When you have the two trains perfectly in sync going up over the top hats. I'm a roller coaster nerd. Like that stuff appeals to me. I really like it is an airtime machine. I think I was out of my seat more than I was in it. And obviously you've only got your lap restraints. And you're just every turn you are out of your seat. Like and That's they amazing. Push the restraints down and you're still coming out of them. There is two launches on it. It's almost like the first launch is almost like a double launch. You kind of get you come out the station, you go into your launch, you're like, oh, that's not very forceful. Oh, okay. And you're up and over this top hat and sometimes you're alongside each other and sometimes you're dueling each other. And then the second launch, which Mark talked about on our episode last week, is so clever because it allows the second train to catch up. And so you again are launched out at exactly the same time. So you're perfectly in sync. And then you go into this element, which they're calling it the Celestial Spin, Celestial World.
That's what I think Mark mentioned it. Yeah.
We've done some videos about my husband talking about how roller coasters compare to flying fighter jets. And his words were, if you want to know what it's like to fly a fighter jet, that is the moment because you are in one train over the top of another train, rolling around it in a way that you just don't see on coasters. And the way you are so close to that other train of people and you can see them and they can see you and they're under you and then you roll over and they're on top of you. It's just like nothing I've ever experienced. And I came off that ride grinning. I did not want it to end. And I think for me, that is the mark of a really good roller coaster when you're I don't want to be back at the station now.
I know.
Carry on, go again. And everyone, I know Americans do this a bit anyway, but everyone came back into the station clapping. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, to be fair, they clapped our pilot on return to Heathrow. So anything. But it just made me feel great. And as soon as I got off it, I was like, I've got to go on it again. And there's not that many coasters that do that to me now. Like go to theme parks enough, you kind of get a little bit blasé about them sometimes. But that coaster, I've got to get back on it. And I rode it at night as well. There's two tracks, green and yellow. Green tends to get the bigger queue and people, the rumor is it's more intense. I didn't actually find that. I found they were much of a muchness. So if you want a short ride, go for the yellow queue.
Go yellow. Yep.
Yeah. But at night I just can't, I don't know how to put it into words. The trains are lit, the track is not. And it is like seeing shooting stars going through the sky. Amazing. And when you're riding it, You feel like you are flying through the night sky in a way I've never experienced. It's phenomenal. Like, Mac have done an incredible job with it. I wish I could pick it up and put it into Thorpe Park or put it into Horton Towers. And if I could, I would be at those parks every day. And I would go back to Epic Universe to just get another ride on that thing. Like, I
Amazing.
just loved it. And for sure, some people, I know Mark would say he still prefers VelociCoaster, and VelociCoaster is phenomenal. Like, do not get me wrong. But for me, it was just something about that ride and the setting and how it looks and how it rides that just
It's because of
made
the
it.
dueling, do you think that just
It
added that
added
extra
all
twist
added
to
in,
it?
yeah, all
Whereas obviously
added into it.
VelociCoaster, you're kind of on
Yeah,
your own.
on your own,
Whereas I
yeah.
guess with that one, you dueling literally side by side with another car, which I guess
Yeah.
creates this beautiful element, was particularly
Yeah.
when you're rolling over,
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know,
yeah. I've
and
just never seen anything like that. There's a lot of coasters in the world, and people who've ridden more than me may have seen something like that before, but I hadn't. And yeah, I would literally get on a plane right now if someone said, "I can get you on Stardust Races this evening."
fly back over there.
Amazing, yeah, blew me away, blew me away. And annoyingly, so we decided after our first day we would go and do a second day Epic, because we said although we'd ridden pretty much everything on our first day, we were like, we feel like there's so much to still see, and our heart was saying go back to Epic rather than go back to Islands of Adventure whilst Epic's in previews, because we might not get this chance again. Like, Islands of Adventure is what it is, and is what it will be now for however many years, whereas Epic is going to get super busy
True.
when it opens. So we thought we'll go and do a second day at Epic, and Stardust Racer didn't open that day,
Ah,
so I
right,
didn't
yeah.
get any more rides on it. But I don't get me wrong, I still enjoyed my day there, and I would be gutted if I hadn't got on it at all. But I did. But yeah, I would literally go back just for that ride. It
And
is
how long was the queue? Was it
really not long, but
relatively,
it's
was it
just, no,
not?
it's like a people eating machine, that thing, because there's
Amazing.
two trains and two tracks. They were in two trains on each side, so four trains. The ops were good. They were just like, absolutely busting them out of there. And I think Mark said last week they're hoping to even get it up to like three trains per side. So
Wow.
that would be, it is a long ride as well. That's the other thing. It's not like, oh, it's done already. It does go on, not
Well,
long enough.
fantastic.
God, I'd do it 10 times as long. But yeah, so it's I think we queued about 20 minutes for it.
Wow.
Yeah, which is really good. And so this is the other thing. This is probably something that we just as an overview for Epic, and also actually for Universal Parks, how it works with a 4-year-old. She obviously can't go on these things. At Universal, they do a parent switch, but the way it works is you queue together. So as a family, you queue, and then when you get to the front of the ride or near to the front of the ride, you split off, and one parent goes into the family room, the other parent rides. And now this family room has sofas, chairs, TV, air conditioning, water fountain, like
What?
sometimes a toilet.
Instantly. That's insane.
And the kids and the other parent wait in there and then watch TV and whatever. The other parent rides. They get off, they switch, and that's how it works. So there's pros and cons to it. The con is if it's a 3-hour queue, you've got all your kids waiting in a 3-hour queue with you, which not always ideal. But when it's a 20 to 40 minute queue, actually I preferred it because it meant we spent time as a family rather than one person going and standing in a 40 minute queue alone, and then the other parent going, right, well, I'm just going to go and have a wander around then with the little one and wait for you to come off. I preferred that we kind of stuck together, and then there was this little room, where there was a bit of respite at the end of it. And they do that on all the rides. Every ride where it says there's parent switch available, there is this family room at the end where you go and do that. There was also the option that we could have used if the queues were like 3 hours long, for example. I'd probably say rather than doing that, I would use a single rider and just go and do it that way. And single rider queues are generally much shorter. But, and I don't know if this was because it was previews, the single rider queues were very hit and miss as to whether they were open or not. But I say, is it previews? I don't know. At Islands of Adventure, VelociCoaster wasn't operating a single rider queue, which was a bit annoying.
Oh, right, okay.
So you can't rely on that. But if they are open, I
No.
do think that is another good way if you have got younger children with you who aren't going to ride. You've just got to sum it up and work on out on the day. What's best? Is it best that we queue and use the family room, or is it best that you go off and just do it as a single rider?
Yeah, because I think this is the reason why we've not been over to Florida yet with the kids, because all ours are under the age of 10, and I guess a lot of the time when you're planning a holiday like this, you're looking at going, do I wait till they're older? Are they going to remember it? Sounds like you've obviously managed to do it okay and
It, for me, it
balance
wasn't
it
an issue.
out,
Yeah.
yeah.
I mean, we only have one, but it wasn't an issue for us at all. She is very used to traveling, and she's used to traveling in the car, and we travel long distances to see family quite a lot. I would say, and I would say this to anyone who was thinking, I really want to go, but I just want to wait for them to be the right age. I'm not sure there's ever a right age. And when
Yeah.
there's a right age for one, if you've got more than one, it's not going to be the right age for the other one. So you can get yourself in this really crazy cycle where you talk yourself out of going. And I went to Florida 26 years ago. That was the last time I went, and I was 14, and I do not remember it. So whether you remember it if you're 2 or 4 or 8 or 10 or 12,
Yeah.
I think if you, I don't think you necessarily remember. I mean, I did things 5 years ago, I can't remember. But do you know what I mean? I
Yeah.
think you don't go because you're like, I need them to remember this. Go because they will enjoy it in the moment. And that would be my takeaway from it. Will my daughter remember this in 10 years' time? Probably not. She might have some recollection, and she'll have recollection because I'll show her videos and that might spark stuff. But did she love it in the moment when she was there? 100%. And that is all we want to do for our kids, isn't it? Really, it's give them experiences that they enjoy. And she, I was worried before I went. I was like, I don't know if it's going to be too hot for her. She was absolutely fine. We used the buggy, which we never use at home, really, only at Alton Towers because it's so far to walk. But she was in that. If she needed to nap during the daytime, which she doesn't do at home anymore, but it's just so hot, and we were staying up late, she had that. She had one of the little portable fans. Drank loads of water, and it was absolutely fine. And I think if you want to experience it as a family, like you and your partner, and you have kids, don't worry about them. They will kind of go with the flow. And if you're having a good time, they'll have a good time. And just as long as you're not trying to cram too much in. And I think this also played into the strength of the trip for us, is that we didn't do a 14-day thing. And everyone in the UK thinks Florida has to be a 14-day mammoth thing. And what I took from this is it really doesn't. We went for 5 days. We could have gone for seven. It was great because we didn't try and do everything. And I think, as I said before, if you go 14 days, you'll never do everything. So it's fine to limit your expectations and go, we're going to go for 7 days. Same as we'd go for 7 days to Tenerife or somewhere like that. It's not that much further, really, in the scheme of things. Tenerife's like a 5 hour flight. This was an 8 hour. And we're just going to limit ourselves, and we're just going to do Universal, or we're just going to go to Disney, and we're just going to do Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom. Or do you know what I mean? It doesn't always have to be everything, and we get sucked into this vortex of it has to be everything because we get thrown 14 day everything included attractions, and they're so much better value than just doing it one or two or three things that we have to tell ourselves sometimes, like, just because we can do 14 parks or whatever doesn't mean we have to.
I think it because sometimes, for some people might only be able to do it once.
Maybe you only do it once because it's 12 to 15K, but actually, if you go for 6 days and it costs you 3.5K, maybe you can do it more than once. And it's just that you split out your trip, but you have to go and appreciate, I am going to be in Florida and I'm not going to see Mickey Mouse. Like, there is a kind of mindset that you have to get into to accept that. And once you accept that, it's fine. And actually, we did go to Disney Springs on one of the evenings. So, oh, and we went to Disney Springs. We went on the boat up to the Port Orleans French Quarter. We got on the bus to Hollywood Studios. We went on the Skyliner down to Pop Century, and we got the bus back. So we did a bit of a loop of Disney
Oh,
without
nice.
stepping foot, into a Disney park or being Disney guests or anything like that. So, you can still do that. I think it's just managing your expectations and just going, do you know what? Sometimes just take it as if you were going to do Disneyland Paris, and you go and do Disneyland Paris, and it's essentially you're going to Magic Kingdom, right? Pretty much. Just do it like that and just go, well, Florida doesn't have to be everything. It can just be one thing, and it can just be Universal. You don't
And I
have to
guess
go to
that's
Disney.
easy then in some ways, because if I'm just going to Universal, that's all my focus is on that.
You're in a Universal hotel. You've got transport to the parks. You've got City Walk if you want to go and find places to go and eat. We had a day around the pool at Surfside, and then that was the evening we went out to Disney Springs. But you don't have to. We could have gone out to City Walk and just used the transport. And it would have been, although it was 5 days, it felt like a lot longer that we'd been away for. But we didn't come back tired or stressed or knackered. It was as if we'd gone to Europe for a few days and gone to a park there. It was just a lot sunnier.
Yes. So a lot warmer, a lot more humid.
Exactly. And I would do it again. I would do it again tomorrow. And I was fully prepared to come back and say, don't go to Universal for 5 days. It was a nightmare. And if that was the case, I would have come and told you that. But it wasn't. And I loved it. And I love Epic. And the park is in technical rehearsals. And they have still got issues. And they've got downtime they need to sort out. And nothing is perfect. And if you watch some of those very early vlogs from people who went during the previews when they were super quiet, those days have gone. And it's not that quiet anymore. But nothing is going to take away how beautiful that park is. And we did one night in Helios, which is the hotel in the park, which this was a splurge and I wasn't going to do it, but my husband decided he really wanted to. And if you can do one night in that hotel and time it with your day at Epic, that is well worth doing, because to just be able to go back and forth to that hotel, to have the early entry, so you can go and queue up at that park gate at 7:30 in the morning. Get in Minecart Madness. If you're one of the first 20 people,
get it out of the way.
Minecart Madness. Yeah, exactly. Get it out of the way, and you just you open your day up. Then, and that hotel is stunning.
Yeah, I can imagine. It looks beautiful.
Yeah,
looks beautiful. So
that is it. That's my little trip in a nutshell. Really, I probably talked about it longer than I expected to. I hope I've answered some of your questions. And obviously, if you're listening and you have any more questions, just drop them in the comments, and we can come back to them, or I'll answer them in the comments. But for me, Epic is a win, and I really want to get back.
Yeah, and then our excitement levels for Universal UK is just even now through the roof.
if they bring some sort of technology like what they've used on Monsters and Chain for one of those rides in a show building, imagine if the Jurassic Park show building has a ride like that, but dinosaurs. I don't even want to kind of set any expectations, but it's going to be good. This reminded me that when a Universal open a park, it's going to be good. It's going to be stunning. Mm-hmm. It's going to be completely different to anything we currently have. So, bring on 2031.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
I hope you've enjoyed today's episode. Like I said, if you've got any questions, drop them in the comments. We will be back next week. Well, you won't be. You're off to Disneyland.
I'm in Disneyland. Yeah. So I'm booking the Epic now as we speak. So I just. Yes, I'm over in Disneyland next week. So,
well, we'll definitely hear about that when you come back. Mm-hmm. And see see if you've peeked through any of those construction walls that are going on over there. But yes, I will be back with a special guest. And if you haven't already, if you do subscribe, you'll get a notification when that episode gets released. For now, though, we've been Parkcast.
Parkcast. The UK's original theme park podcast.